Okay, turn to Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 2, one of the little minor prophets in the Old Testament. Habakkuk is called a minor prophet because it's a very short book. I think it's only three chapters. But Habakkuk himself was not minor. His prophecy was a major prophecy. But so it has been categorized, because of the shortness. I can't tell you a lot about Habakkuk because I haven't spent a lot of time with him. Read his book a lot, but he's in the cloud of witnesses, and there's times that that in the ministry of this day he's involved in it. It's an amazing thing that, you know, we tend to look over the Old Testament too much. The Old Testament is the Word of God also. And these guys prophesied and some tremendous words of the Lord. How many, many times the Lord spoke and he said, I am the God of your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And what that means is that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob still living. They're still involved in ministry. It wasn't that they had their life on earth and lived it to the best they could, maybe, and then it was over with. But after they die and go to the Lord, they have a ministry that continues. Isaiah, for example, tremendous prophet he was, still ministers. Moses is still ministering. Samuel is still ministering. These men of the Old Testament, along with those of the New and those of today, are ways of the Lord. They're channels through which the Lord moves. And Habakkuk is such a prophet. He's ministering in this day as well as he was in the day that he actually lived as a man. We're just going to look at just a few verses, not much. This will be relatively short. But I would encourage your hearts that when you go to the Old Testament, you read, get to know these guys because they're still living. They're still speaking. Give you another example. After Cain killed Abel, and God began to talk to him, where's your brothers? Where's your brother? Cain said, I don't know, my brother's keeper. He said, thy brother's blood cries out to me. And then over in the book of Matthew, but the Lord speaks of the blood of Abel speaking. Abel was a prophet, and he still speaks. Moses still speaks. Isaiah and Jeremiah and all the rest are still speaking. And the things that they have to say are very, very, very important. But in this chapter, 2 of Habakkuk, in the very first verse, Habakkuk says, I will stand upon my watch. There's a reason that Habakkuk said he would stand upon his watch. Habakkuk was a special type of prophet. He was one of the watchmen on the wall. He was to watch over the people of God. He was to warn them in times of danger, and he was to minister the word of God. He knew that there was a place in the Lord that he had to be, and in that place was his watch. That was his charge. He was to stand upon his watch. He says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower. And of course, he didn't have a tower built outside of his house. This tower was a spiritual positioning where he was positioned a little bit above upon a tower that he could watch. In other words, he could see into realms that the ordinary people couldn't see. The Lord opened up things to him. So Habakkuk said, I will stand upon my watch. Now, God still gives people a watch, a place of responsibility. And he will lift them up to a realm where they have insight into areas that others cannot see. And Habakkuk was determined to fulfill his calling. So he says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will wait to see what he will say unto me. I think it's interesting that the Septuagint, is the Old Testament written in Greek, and Septuagint is the Old Testament writings that were available in Jesus' day. It's the writings that they had and the disciples. And in the Septuagint, it's worded just a little bit different. It says, I will stand upon my watch and set upon my tower and will watch to see what he will say in me. The voice of the Lord will come within him. So you see, he didn't go up on a fire tower or something, but he was tuned into another realm, another world. And the voice of the Lord would come forth within him. So he says, I will watch and see what he will say in me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. Then in verse 2, and the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain upon tables that he may run that reads it. You see, it was important that the men of God, particularly not only the Old Testament, but the New Testament also, but we're dealing primarily with Old Testament here today, the vision had to be written. Someone has to write the vision. Someone has to make it available. Someone has to have been on their watch and upon their tower, determined to be there, determined to hear what the Lord would speak in them, and then to write the vision that others may read it and run. Just think, if we didn't have this book, how in the world, it's like in, what is it, Romans 10? It has to be someone who speaks the word. Someone has to speak the word. Someone has to write the vision, make it known, that others may read it and run and get involved with it. We can get involved in the things of Habakkuk, the thing of Isaiah and Jeremiah and Zechariah and all the rest. These things are written so that we could read them and be involved in them. So write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that reads it. There has to be a spoken word. There has to be a written word. And I got an email today from someone that says that God has spoken to their hearts that they are to write. And so I sent an email back and encouraged their hearts. Yes, write. And I remembered many years ago, when I was in the days of my training, and I was under the pastor that had so much to do with my spiritual growth, and he emphasized the writing very much. In fact, he would tell us that after every service, write one paragraph of what God did and said in that service. And so this is what we did. And it was a habit that I got into, that even when we received the cassette tapes that came from his ministry later, I would sit and I'd listen to the tapes and make notes. And whenever the Lord would speak, I'd write it. The writing of the word is very, very important. You can read it and somehow you just forget it. But when you write it, sit down and write it, it's that activity of thinking about, now what did God do and what did he speak in that service? Next thing you know, your spirit is learning how to tune in to the spirit realm, because you can't know what God did in a service. You can't know what he said in a service without being able to tune in to the realm of spirit in which he was moving. You see? And that's not something that just comes automatic to anybody. Don't care who it is. Don't care how intuitive you might think you are. It just doesn't come easy. It's something that you have to learn how to do. And the writing is important. And I encourage this person, write the things that God gives you. Write the things that you're sensing that is taking place. Keep a personal journal if necessary. And review them. Check and recheck. Look for confirmation to everything you feel like God is saying to you. And these are things that are important if you really want to know. See? When God speaks to you, it's like a vision. Write it down. And then begin to appropriate the things that you saw. You read it that you might run. See? Right. And be active. Verse 3. Now he's writing the vision. And in verse 3, for the vision is yet for appointed time. Now, an appointed time in the New Testament, that would be written as a season. A season is a particular time span from one point to another point. And during that, between those two points, is the season. That's the appointed time when something is to happen. But if you don't hear, if you don't receive the vision and act upon it, it's for an appointed time. You don't want to miss the time. It's like a time of visitation of the Lord, right. You see. And the vision is yet for an appointed time. Well, don't make the mistake of putting that appointed time way out in the future. One day it's going to come to pass. Because the majority of the time, you'll find out that that appointed time is the very next step that God has for you. He says that he will be a light unto your path, a lamp unto your feet. And that light to your path and that lamp to your feet is the vision. It's the appointed time. But at the end, that's not the end of time. At the end, at the time of fulfillment, it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it. I've had times when I knew that the Lord was speaking something to my spirit. There was something being imparted to me of him, but I didn't know what it was. But I knew that I had to withhold that, to keep it, because there was going to be a fruition that followed. There was going to be a fulfillment. And this is what he's talking about. The vision comes. Write it. Make a note of it. That you may run. That you may be active in the things of the Lord. And this vision is yet for a season. For an appointed time. And you don't want to miss the time that it's appointed for. But at the end. In other words, at the time of its fruition or its fulfillment. It shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. We're talking about becoming. We're talking about the things, you see, God is always speaking. There's always those emanations of spirit that are coming from the Lord that we have to grab a hold of. Write the vision, make it plain upon tables, that he may run that reads it. So it's not only important that you write the things that God is speaking to you, because they are the things that's going to enable you to be active and to run, but the things that God shows you and that you write are important for the people that come after you when they read it. This is the vision that we have at Open Heavens Ministries. The word that God is speaking and bringing is a word to be read. It's a word for those who are yet to come. The vision is yet for an appointed time, but at its fruition, at its fulfillment, it shall speak. Suddenly, the vision blossoms forth. Suddenly, it's like a trumpet in the wilderness that speaks. It does not lie. And though it tarries, wait for it. And that wait, don't just sit back and wait. Say, I know God's speaking, it's going to happen. Earnestly partake of it, because it will surely come. See, you see the faith in that? It will surely come. That seems strange. Though it tarries, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not tarry. You can bring the tarrying to an end through the appropriation of your hunger and after the word. Believe it. Amen.